Skagway leaders decide to re-engage with White Pass over the failed Tidelands lease. And the 1% tourism sales tax stays put in Haines for now. It's KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. The 1% sales tax in Haines, allotted to tourism and economic development, will stay put and stay off the October ballot for now. On Tuesday, the Assembly discussed whether to leave the tax's future in the hands of Haines voters and decided against advancing that proposal. The idea was brought forward by a local fisherman several weeks ago. Haines fisherman J.R. Churchill told the Finance Committee last week that he thinks the tax needs to resurface on the ballot. He said he's tired of public money going to private business. But on Tuesday, several members of the public and most of the Assembly disagreed.
The sales tax revenue benefits the entire community.
We not only collect that 1% from all of our guests, but we collect the rest of the 4.5% that we see from those guests when they're enticed to come to our town.
It has a ripple effect that hits virtually every sector of the economy, and that needs to be taken into consideration when we look at this.
That was Karen Hess, Robert Chadwell, and Kyle Gray. The 1% tax was voted into effect 30 years ago to help the borough pay off a legal settlement. That proposition passed 230 to 207, with the addition that once the lawsuit was paid off, the tax would then go to tourism. A repeal of the tax means more than $500,000 would disappear from the borough budget. Leslie Ross is the borough's tourism director. She said on Tuesday, repealing the tax has huge implications that many aren't aware of.
What would happen to the tourism department? Would it go away? Would something else be cut to replace that funding? I just think it would be very rash to put it on this ballot without proper time to educate people.
For the most part, the Assembly agreed that putting it on the October ballot would be a hasty decision. Here's Assemblywoman Diana Lapham.
If it truly has the support, then let the citizen initiative come forward and we put it on the ballot next year.
A citizen initiative would require a resident to petition for the change and then collect signatures totaling 25% of the most recent voter turnout. Assemblymember Mike Case said if they're going to put the tax repeal proposal on the ballot, why not put a measure on the ballot to paint all the borough buildings pink and white?
We don't do it because there's no call for it, and there's no call for this except from just one or two people. I don't even know why we're discussing this much. I value their opinion, but I'm not going to go to vote for it.
According to Mayor Jan Hill, only one other person besides Churchill contacted the borough to offer support for repealing the tax. Assemblyman George Campbell, who was on the phone from Sitka, was the only assembly member who thought the idea should be on the ballot this year.
And I wouldn't be afraid to put it on the ballot because, you know, we banter around whether or not it's got support. Who cares when it goes on the ballot? The question will get answered pretty darn quick, in my opinion, because the voters are going to tell us exactly what they want to do.
There was no motion on the table about this issue, and the assembly will not take action to send the question to voters. Also at this week's meeting, after a lengthy back and forth, the Assembly voted to adopt the collective bargaining agreement between the borough and Public Employees Local 71. The three-year contract, which includes a 1% raise, will cost the borough around $97,000 the first year and $20,000 for the second and third. A couple of Assembly members and one member of the public thought more time should be taken to go through the contract, even after multiple hours had already been spent by the negotiating team. The borough's chief financial officer, Gila Stewart, spoke in support of the contract. She explained that denying scheduled and deserved raises could mean employees will go elsewhere to find work.
The negotiating committee tried to balance the dismal projections for shrinking budgets against the need to retain good staff. And as I'm sure you've heard before, because it's a mantra we repeat over and over, turnover is very expensive, and that's a reality.
Stewart added that, according to Alaska Municipal League data, Haines-Borough employees make just 65 to 85% of what their counterparts do in other communities. Haines School District's new superintendent says he wants to listen and learn before making any big decisions about the district. Tony Habra came to Haines from a superintendent post in Paw Paw, Michigan. He's been on the job for about 2 weeks and says his biggest goal right now is to get to know the school. KHNS's Emily Files has more.
Habra is working on a survey of sorts to acquaint himself with the district. He wants to talk with every staff member, from the janitors to the principals, asking,
what do you want me to know about you? What are your concerns, if any? What are your concerns for me as I start the school year? What one thing can I do with the staff to impact it positively? And then the whole thing wraps up with the question, what's the one thing that you feel absolutely cannot change here in Haines?
Habra hopes these conversations will help him formulate a long-term vision for the district, although he doesn't expect to know what that vision is until next school year.
It would be extremely arrogant of me to come in and say that I have the answer to anything.
He says he's made that mistake in the past. He's worked as superintendent in two other school districts, and before that, as a principal, counselor, and teacher.
This isn't my first rodeo. I would say I certainly have made mistakes in the past. I have come in with the idea that certain things needed to be changed. I'm not going to make that mistake again.
Habra compared change to the grieving process. There's denial, anger, bargaining. He says the more change you have, the harder it is to accept and adjust.
There's been a lot of change in the district. There's been four superintendents in 4 years. There's been 2 years ago, there was 10 new staff members hired. Where we're going, what we're doing, we need to take a breath.
Habra is taking over for interim superintendent Rich Carlson, who stepped in after the unexpected resignation of former superintendent Ginger Jewell. One of the changes Jewell implemented in her year with the district was an increase in classroom technology. While teachers advocated for the change, some parents were uncertain about how more screen time could be positive.
I think there were unrealistic expectations of what technology could do for education when it first started. And now I think the reverse has happened, where we have people saying we don't need any technology. But the fact is that the world runs on technology, and it would be remiss if we did not help students understand the varying uses of technology.
The district is also facing questions about its financial future. Former Superintendent Carlson warned the school board at budget meetings that its current strategy of leaning on reserves to cover a deficit was unsustainable. Habra says he needs to take time learning what makes Haines special before he'll have an idea of what can be cut in future budget cycles.
I know we will make hard decisions, and honestly, once that starts, I will make sure that people understand the process of how we're going to get to that decision before we start going through that process. And this is the beginning of it.
Habra says when he does decide on those changes, he plans to be transparent about the reasoning behind them. But for now, he's focused on learning about the district so he can be prepared when the time comes for more change. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
Skagway leaders want to re-engage with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad to discuss a Tidelands lease agreement. The Borough Assembly came to that consensus after talking for more than an hour behind closed doors at a special meeting on Wednesday. It's been about 9 months since Skagway voters rejected a Tidelands lease extension between the municipality and White Pass. In the time since then, the Assembly met privately with railroad officials, exchanged letters, and held work sessions about the future of the port. There's been a lot of talk, but not a lot of progress. Time and time again, officials have expressed urgency about the tight timeline Skagway has to spend millions of dollars in state grant funding for the port and to build a floating dock to accommodate larger cruise ships. The lease extension that was shut down by voters would have given the municipality access to Tidelands currently leased by White Pass. Without access, port improvement stalled. After the executive session on Wednesday, the Assembly unanimously voted to have a resolution come forward at the next regular meeting. The resolution would indicate that the Assembly wants to re-engage in lease discussions with White Pass. The Port Commission will review the proposed resolution on Friday. The next Assembly meeting is July 21st. KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.